Welcome to the Patriot League's Pillar Citizen Spotlight. My name is Aaron Robertson, and I'm the president of the Patriot League, where we work to advance four pillars of moral truth that we believe are indispensable for our state and nation to survive and thrive. Since 2009, we've been building the Pillar Citizen community, and we're joined today by one of its leading members, former Colorado State Representative Joanne Winholds, and we're so glad to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Mrs. Winholds' extensive public service includes serving in the Colorado House of Representatives from 2015 to 2016. And it was during these 2 years of legislative service that we came to know her as a defender of the Pillar Principles. Mrs. Winholds, we'd like to start off by asking, what is your primary motivation for believing in and defending the Pillar Principles?
Probably the primary one that first caught my attention was the humanity of the unborn, one of the four pillars. And way back when, it first dawned on me what Planned Parenthood was all about was when my birthday is on January 22nd, which is Roe v. Wade, signed into Maine, the law of the land. And that just put me over the edge.
Wow. And so, really influenced
yeah,
you personally.
It did. It really did. And we've been going to the marches and that ever since our youngest daughter was 3 years old. And so it's been quite a long time and taken various routes, but always that has been the basis for being involved
right
in the community and in our church.
And these marches you're referring to, they're sort of marches that happen usually annually, right? Big marches usually in capital cities. I mean, obviously
right.
Colorado's got one, but they're all over the nation.
Right, right, right. And the biggest one being in Washington, D.C., and then they have the Western March out in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And but we have ours right around the 22nd, give or take a week, depending when the 22nd falls.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice warm part of the year.
Yeah, just dandy, but it's perseverance. And that's what it's been all about
that's
all these
right.
years.
Right, because it's rather appropriate, actually, now that I think about it, that it's sort of in an uncomfortable time of the year because we're going to have to get out of the proverbial comfort zone to actually defend the innocent unborn.
Actually, so. And that's one reason why I wore this pin today.
Okay.
It represents the heartbeat bill that's being promoted across the country.
Okay.
And we're working with legislators here to get, hopefully, to have someone carry it in this next session. We aren't under any illusions about anything getting passed, but it's a start, it's an awareness, and Janet Porter, who is one of the leaders in this movement, mm-hmm. was with our Adams County Republican Lincoln Reagan dinner, our speaker. And so she first really introduced the idea to us, and so we're gonna run with it.
She's been going at this a long time.
Yes, she
has. I know of her.
Yes.
It's very neat. And do you believe that there's a legislator or legislators in our Colorado delegation or whatnot, the representatives or senators, who will carry the bill?
I definitely do. There,
okay.
We've got some real strong legislators, a lot of them up here in the Northeast. So that's
wonderful.
That's where I'm going to look forward to first, at least in the House. And then we do have a Christian senator, Kevin Priola, here in Adams County. So
okay.
looking to him to talk to him about carrying it in the Senate.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we'll
very
see.
Good. Yeah, yeah. Can you tell us how you came to be involved in the political world in the first place? What were some of the events, the influences that led you to ultimately becoming a state legislator?
Well, the first involvement was when we moved out here. They're family members that ran for office, and so it's, you know, delivering literature and, you know, knocking on doors and
right.
the typical things you do to help out someone who's running for office that you support. Then someone asked if I would be the secretary for the Adams County Republicans.
Okay.
And I said, oh, sure, what's involved? Oh, you just have to take notes and blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Yeah, right. Famous.
Whoa. And so... And then I ran for office after that and took quite a hit and with the Planned Parenthood situation in Colorado Springs.
Okay.
And so I served 2 years.
They didn't
years.
Like you?
No,
oh,
not a bit. Okay. Not a bit.
All right.
And actually it was the campaign in 2016 for re-election was brutal. And in my life, the cup's always half full. And so it was, I could not believe how vicious
Wow.
it was getting or it got. And so I lost, but it really reinforced and opened up what the situation we were facing
Yes.
really is.
Yes.
Not was, it is.
That's right.
And so it basically it's building an infrastructure that we can grow on and that people have confidence in again. And it's
Yes.
because people are apathetic to a point, but they're angry at the same time.
Right.
And so it is how to channel this and to they don't like the way some things are going, other things, thank goodness the election turned out the way it did. But we've got a whole one or two generations that have not been civically educated
That's right.
in our
And
government.
Constitution Day was just
Yes,
yesterday, September
yes,
17th, every year, for those of you who don't
absolutely.
know. And it's such an important holiday. And it's incredible that it's basically ignored by probably 90% of our
Oh,
culture.
at least, if
Yeah.
not more. And not having a background in what is in the Constitution or a Bill of Rights,
All right.
and they, because the mindset of it's all about me and I'm the only one that's important, it's not going to work for the benefit of our country or our county or our state.
Yes, ma'am, you are so right on that. So true. And our hats off to you for running again in 2016, because we know how much work, we could certainly at least imagine, and some folks know exactly how much work it is,
Yes.
that it takes to do that. And so our hats off to you for doing that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we in 2018 it was quite a setback for us. On all the county offices were lost after they had done a phenomenal job of reorganizing and cleaning up the mess that they inherited. So it was a good eye-opener. I hate to say that losing, had its silver lining, but it kind of did.
Okay. Well, great
So,
perspective.
yeah.
So that's right. 2016, you won the election. It was 2018 when you
Right.
ran, yeah, and
Yeah.
didn't win. But you're saying, hey, let's learn from our failures. Because
Oh,
we have
yeah.
to, as the Pillar Citizen community, as we're working to defend these principles for families and unborn children,
Right.
we don't have the option, folks, to just say, well, we lost this time, so I guess we'll just take our marbles and go home, because our children and future generations are on the line. You
Exactly.
have to keep going.
Exactly. And we've been very blessed. We've got 12 grandchildren. And if that is inspiration enough
Wow.
to stay involved in because I can't imagine this country being a socialist country. I just
Man.
won't allow it. I don't know.
I'm with you.
Thank
I'm
you.
with you.
Thank
There's
you.
two of us at least here
Yes,
in the studio.
indeed. There's a
So,
lot of us
and I
that,
see
and
someone else too.
yes.
So, yeah.
I can't imagine that this country would ever go that route, but it's being threatened. So
Yeah, it sure is.
we can't ignore it.
Right. So true. And we know that serving in the state legislature, it truly gives meaning to someone becoming a public servant. That
Yes.
term that's always thrown around.
Yes.
Most legislators, certainly in Colorado, and I'm sure it's the case, majority of legislators across the country, lightly compensated, must work long hours and deal with contentious matters, and usually, depending on the scenario, contentious people.
Right.
So, with all that in mind, what brought you, Mrs. Winholds, to the point of actually running? Because it's one thing to have conviction and frustration, but where you actually came to run for office.
It was a situation where that it was we had to try. We weren't under any illusions, but I was asked to run, and so with a lot of in blood, sweat, and tears, finally, I said, okay,
Yes.
I can do this.
Okay.
I can do it. Now, it was a very close race,
Yeah.
very close. And actually, we were, another lady and I were both within 200 votes.
Wow, very close.
And so we both went down to the training program and all of that, ahead.
training program for becoming a legislator.
For legislature.
Because it was that close.
It was that close. And so, fortunately, I made it over the bar. And but the learning curve is straight up.
It was pretty difficult.
It was very... I had I went down, and because Kevin Priola was already in the legislature, went
down. A legislator you already knew, yeah.
Right, so I met with him and talked to him, and it's about the amount of bills that you have to carry for, it is, they want you to carry five each for each person. It is a bit daunting.
Right.
And fortunately, I did get two through and signed.
Wow.
So I was, you know,
right.
I was pleased.
Yeah, right.
But it's just, there is a lot that goes on behind the scenes that people don't have an inkling what goes on. The lobbyists are notorious.
Okay.
About
the rumors are true.
Oh yeah, I mean, and most of them are very nice, but their job is to get certain legislation through.
Sure.
And to see that you've got the support and that to make it, you know, to make it happen with
right.
those other legislators that you're, you know, on both sides of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have the support, sometimes you don't. And you know that when your bill goes to a certain committee, it's dead on arrival.
Sure.
But, I mean, and it's just like what we're going to be trying to do with the heartbeat bill. We've got to get it out there. And we have got to give people an opportunity to learn and recognize that the issue of life is fundamental
yes.
to everything. And if we lose that, the world we'll be living in will not be,
no.
will be horrible.
That's right. Look at Hitler's Germany.
Yes,
the
yes.
devaluing of the dignity of the person, right?
Well, and some of the states already have gone beyond this with euthanasia or letting the infanticide.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You know, you never thought that you would get to that point.
Right.
But it has in some places.
That's right. Well, and to Mrs. Winholt's point, I think it's so good you brought this up. Bring the bill anyway, even if you know it's set on arrival.
Yes.
What that does, folks, and I hope we're not missing what you shared with us as far as how close the vote was.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to have, in the state of Colorado, 2 years of representation by somebody like yourself who actually defends the pillar principles because of, let's say, less than 200, wasn't it? Roughly 200.
Yes, right? Yes, it
200
was.
200 votes. And so I hope that that's a challenge and encouragement for all of us to realize if we stay home and we don't participate
right.
in the exercise of our government, our voting rights, if 200 of us stay home, and really 100, because if depending on which
yes.
way people are voting, you
exactly.
know, that can made the difference for 2 years of having someone like you, and this can multiply itself over and over. So please hear that. But then also, when you are elected, to bring the good bills and not to be so focused on pragmatism. Do we look at pragmatism? Of course we should look at that.
Oh, yeah.
But if we only are being driven by pragmatism, we might as well just stay home and watch the game instead of actually doing anything for these principles. What it does is it forces people to go on record
yes.
in the committee, and now we know that Representative Joe Schmo or Susie Q voted against the pillars. Now we have something objective
mm-hmm.
to inform the electorate and
right.
say, hey, they voted versus just, well, we don't like them or we just don't think that they're. So there's so much value, like you're saying, and so glad to hear that you're working still so active. We know you are inactive, trying to get things happening, whether you're in the office or not. You've had a long period of time of public service.
Well,
so
and we need to get good legislatures elected, but at the same time, we need... it's not going to happen unless the people behind the scenes are at home or in your neighborhood aren't involved.
Okay.
And it doesn't take a lot, but it does take some commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there's no pay. No pay. But there is a satisfaction that you were out there and you were doing your very best.
Your very best.
To make a difference.
It's a great challenge. So that's
yeah.
that's us in the Pillar Citizens Community.
Right.
And as a legislator, just to clarify, there's pay in that role. It's not a whole lot.
No, it's not a whole lot.
But you're talking about just the general grassroots supporting, right, that's what
right,
you're, right.
Right, right. Yeah, when I was in the legislature, we voted that the salary would kick him up in 2019. Well, hopefully they
did it
got,
happen? Do you know?
They did get their raise.
Oh, they did?
Yes,
okay.
So thank you very much.
Now that you're out,
yes,
right, it's like,
yeah.
Thanks a lot. Can you tell us what surprised you the most about the process of campaigning? You were talking a little bit about that, but anything that really caught you off guard in the campaigning process for the state representative?
Probably it was the continual need to raise funds.
Okay.
Continually. And I think that's why every 2 years, I mean, you never stop.
Mm.
I mean, you're constantly having to do that.
Wow.
And if you're not, even when you go out and you talk to folks and that, you're relying on what you have to tell them and the exchanges and conversation that they will support
it's
you.
It's enough for them to know why
yeah.
they should.
You carry your envelopes with you all the time. You do. And your cards, and you leave them with everybody. And it's... I think that probably is that continually. You always have that piece in the back of your mind because a printed literature is so expensive.
Mm.
Granted, we digital and networking with the media has really advanced and helped in a lot of ways, but
right.
that's that knocking on that door and it's that one-on-one that still makes the difference.
Wow.
So that was a hard thing to remember that you always have to do that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, and I want to bring to our attention as well, you touched on this, the needing the money for candidates who are running for office.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're aware of this, but many are not. There's a book out there called The Blueprint.
Oh my goodness,
right?
Yes.
And I encourage folks, get a copy of this. It's actually not a book that's widely circulated in my estimation, what I've seen. Like, I don't know if it's on Amazon, maybe it is, or some of the large vendors
mm-hmm.
that you can go through. But this book is, and certainly contact us if you need a connecting point. This book, in a quick nutshell, shows that it was four individuals, I believe
right.
it was, millionaires, multimillionaires, folks, who 10 to 15 years ago, probably closer to 15, got together and said, basically, how are we going to take control of the state legislature in Colorado? And they invested significant monies. And this is all very tractable, and there was actually
yes.
a journalist that was one of the guys that authored this. It's very reputable and sourced information. And it shows
mm-hmm.
how, in my estimation, here's the way I say it, they essentially bought the Colorado legislature.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And you can look at the amount of money that was typically put into a state house race, several thousand dollars, where it's now, I don't know what it is, 30,000,
40,000.
40,000,
50,000,
100,000.
It just depends on how contentious the race
right.
is.
And that was never even close to that much money that was necessary back even 15, 20 years ago, because these multimillionaires are pumping the money, folks. So just be aware of that. And when we're told, whether it's our state or any other state, that nobody cares about the principles that we care about, it's just not true.
Right.
But their side is pumping tons of money and promoting it the same. If you hear a lie long enough, eventually you start to believe it.
Well, actually, one of those four is now our governor. So
thank you for pointing that out.
Yes, they
and his
had
name
a plan.
Would be,
they worked their
for those
plan.
Who may not in our state.
Polis,
listen, Governor Jared Polis.
Jared Polis, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So. They had a plan. They worked their plan,
and it worked.
And I have to say, being Republicans, we focus on our families. We focus on our work. We do not necessarily believe in career politicians.
Mm-hmm.
They do, and there's been behind the scenes of organizing and educating
yes.
people and. Especially women, and it's called Emerge, is the program.
Okay.
And on how to run for office and how to act once you get in there.
Mm.
And probably at least half of the women on the Democrats mm. in the House, because that I know that group best,
sure.
Come through
From
this
that
training
program.
Program.
Okay. So see the organization and the funds that are behind the anti-pillar movements. And we want to point out, and I know you know this, that we're as an organization, the Patriot League, we're not partisan. We don't care if you're a Democrat, a Republican, a constitutional, independent. But in our state right now, and this can vary depending on the state you're in, our state right now, you tend to see one party being more pro-pillar than another.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be that way.
No.
And we've done a fair amount of research to actually prove that both parties historically have been consistent with the pillar principles. Both parties.
Yeah,
major parties.
They were.
Right?
Yes.
So we want to make that clear, regardless of someone's political persuasion. The point is, get involved for these fundamental moral values. Because
yes.
We actually need people in all those parties, you know, to stand up and change the culture from within.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and it's, I guess, one of the principles is traditional marriage and parenting.
Yeah. You know?
There are so many children out there without a father in their life. And there are studies after studies how important a father is.
Oh, thank you for bringing that up.
It's crucial. And feminism has its place. I'm not saying it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But when it surpasses or claims to be more important than a family, a father and a mother, that it just doesn't work. And our society and our kids and the violence and that if there is no father in the home, it's a huge, huge impact on our kids.
Wow. And same gender marriage, so-called, by design eliminates either that father or that mother figure.
Right.
I'd like
right.
to point that out. So important to hear. People say, well, it doesn't matter. Love is love. Well, there's more to our humanity than just throwing euphemisms around.
Right.
Saying love is love. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Well, what that means is that we're eliminating a child, like you're saying. For any of us that had the privilege and the blessing of being raised by a mother and a father,
mm-hmm.
can you imagine having one of them removed from your life? How different would your life have been? That's what same-gender marriage infers in every case and actualizes in many cases for children.
Right.
And it's a big problem.
It's a huge problem. And
yeah.
it's so relevant as to our education of our kids and some of the bills that have gone through and been signed and the... And it's unfortunate that a mother can't be home when their kids get out of school, but that's
right.
That's the times we are in. But it doesn't mean that we can offset our responsibilities as parents to the schools or to the community rec centers or to grandparents either.
There you go. Generational faithfulness and involvement.
Right. So it's... And I know distance plays a big part of families and how cohesive that they can be, but you need that unit.
That's so good. What about during your time in office? I had asked what was surprising you most about just the campaigning, but
uh-huh.
anything that really sticks out, man, this surprised me actually being in legislative office.
It's learning who you can trust.
Okay.
That is,
okay.
Because you get... there were many a time when you thought, you had this person was going to support you or you were on the same page and understanding what a certain bill meant. And then as a novice, you're so caught off guard. How could they do this?
Wow.
Well, and so that was, learning who you can trust. I will have to say that the staff that helps write the bills and put all this together are phenomenal.
Wow.
We couldn't do it without them.
That's great.
They really do a good job. And I'm sure that's on both sides. And
sure.
You soon learn what lobbyists or what legislatures just stay away from.
Right. And so you got to have a little thick skin. And
thick
skin includes... when your feelings get hurt, someone stabs you in the back, doesn't follow through, we can't once again just say, well, this politician let me down. this person didn't treat me nice, so now I'm going to not be involved anymore.
Right.
We can't do that.
Right.
We've got to be the mature human beings that we're supposed to be and say, for the betterment of the American Constitutional Republic, the future of our country, even if someone hurts my feelings or I don't get my ego stroked or whatever it is, just stay involved for the purpose that you should be in the first place.
You're be cautious.
Be cautious.
Yeah. And stand up for your principles.
Yes.
Always.
Ah, that's good. That's good. We need that on a frame right here. Stand up for your principles always. That she said it, so you better do it.
Okay.
So while in the legislature, you were involved in a number of pillar-related bills. Please tell us about the bill that you're most proud of that you were involved with, and what was the fate of the bill?
Let me think. I'll have to say it was, for me, it was one of the, I worked, and this is kind of a side, but it was with the veterans.
Okay.
And working, and it was, end up working with a leader on the Democratic side, and
okay.
It was to get housing in that for our veterans built
Fitzsimmons. Is that
yes.
What it is?
Yeah.
I want to say.
They do have some housing in that out there already, but this was to help for families in that of while there was, it's kind of remind me like the McDonald's house where
okay.
families can stay and so because sometimes these veterans, it's a distance for them, and for the family to even have to stay in a hotel and all of this during treatment is a bit costly. So that was a program that I was very proud of, and it we brought in the Department of Health and Human Services and worked with them, the City of Aurora, the campus out of Fitzsimmons. So it was a lot of pieces to the puzzle, but it came together.
Right.
And so it was helping our fellow human beings.
Right.
And they were our veterans. So.
And it's patriotic, which we should, obviously as the pillar community, we should be the most patriotic people out there.
Yes.
You know, back to the Constitution and defending
yes.
that and showing gratitude to our veterans.
Right. And a lot
cool.
of these bills that have come up since I was in the legislature that do challenge our moral base. The only one that, you know, that actually at the time that was controversial was anything that had to do with life.
Okay.
We didn't face this marriage and situation.
That doesn't even get brought up as far as a legislation, does it?
Right.
Really?
I mean, it's not directly what they'll say is what they put through about health care for a spouse. Okay.
Oh, okay.
What's
there,
the definition of
that.
A spouse? So I mean,
so that
it's all
in.
Those little things that kind of weave in from the side.
True.
That, yeah.
That's
so
true.
It's so they weren't in your face as much as they have been this last session, and we are told what they say. Well, you thought the last session was bad. Just wait. I'm going. Holy moly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so be prepared. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it is. Well, on that, the whole discussion of, you know, is marriage being brought up to try to promote and advance it? Not really.
No.
Because in 2015, the Obergefell Supreme Court decision where five United States Supreme Court justices imposed their will upon the American people. 30-plus states had already passed either statutes, most of which that had been passed were constitutional amendments
mm-hmm.
to their state constitutions
right.
defining marriage between a man and a woman. When the people of this state, Colorado, but if you're listening on another state, the likelihood is your state did the same. When they were last asked about what should marriage be defined as, they said it's a man and a woman.
Right.
And that's we the people. That's still the truth. Okay. So just because the court, roughly 4 years ago, five people on the court
mm-hmm.
said otherwise, doesn't change a thing when it comes to the truth of what marriage is.
Right.
And it doesn't mean this battle's over.
Oh, not by a long ways.
The Supreme Court has made errors back in the 1950s. They said a person from African American descent could never hold citizenship in this country. Well, that was the same court, folks. So if they made an error then, and it got corrected, by the way, about 10 years later through a constitutional amendment mm-hmm. by the people,
right?
They made an error again in about 4 years ago. Let's not throw in the towel.
Right.
We need to work and create coalitions to say, how do we begin to correct this grievous error, too?
Right, right.
We're well aware of the opposition to the pillar principles at most of our state capitals. I'm sure there's a few that maybe they're decent, but in general, can you give us a sense of what that opposition is like? How did you most often see it manifested? Was it like in a hearing, or was it the media, your constituents, your legislative peers? Where did you see that?
The most opposition actually was in the legislature on the other side. That was the most apparent, I'll say that.
So your peers?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So it that was demonstrated over and over and over again.
Is it like in the hallways, or is it kind of in committee meetings where there's sort of, you know, confrontations, or how does that actually manifest?
Well, in committee meetings, and I'll tell you what, after I was out of the legislature and I went down and testified at some pro-life bills and that, mm-hmm. and they would go very late, I was always the last one.
Oh,
2
really?
a.m.
To testify?
Yeah, to testify. And
by design?
I'm sure it was by design. Yeah, hoping that I would go home.
Oh, it wasn't you, like, just holding back and then saying, no, you go first?
No.
You were called up.
It was.
Really?
Yes, yes. And having the W, you know, usually puts me at the end of the line anyway, but.
Your last name.
Last name. But, no, it was by design. And
wow.
You get up there and you look at them, they're all shaking their heads. I mean, it's 2 a.m. in the morning, of course. I mean, they're tired, too.
Wow.
But I thought, no, I did go home. I'm here.
Good for
I'm
you.
I'm here. So, but
that's commitment.
It's just if when issues are so important, and I mean we run it happens here right here in Adams County at the commissioners, and when you go out and the people spend 4 hours, you know, discussing and debating with the commissioners and making their presentations of why. Mm-hmm. Something should or should not be done, and then you know darn well that they've already made up their mind.
It takes a lot of commitment to still show up.
Yes.
In those
yes.
kind of contexts.
Absolutely. Yeah, it does. And I commend every one of them anybody who gets out there, if they feel strongly enough about an issue, to go and
yes.
do something. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's a great example. Fantastic. So back to the opposition. That's there, you
yeah.
know, amongst your peers when you were in the legislature. I'm sure it took its toll in some form or fashion on yourself, as well as your like-minded peers. So, with that in mind, what do you believe, just from your experience, is the most impactful action that we as the Pillar Citizen community can take to show meaningful support to our legislators?
Don't just wait to contact them when there's a bill out there. I mean, and especially if you know that you can count on them, you know, reassure them, let them know, call them, text them, leave them a message. Don't just wait for an issue to come up.
So what do they say when they kind of just, hey, how's it going? Or what would you
that would be
appreciate?
Good. Yeah,
just
I just want you to let you to know that we really appreciate what you're doing. Mm. I know it hasn't been easy, and it's how can we support you? Ask how you can help them. You
okay.
know, is it a contribution, or is something coming up, or are you be will you be what's your schedule? Is there something we can meet you or you know
okay.
and support you in the community?
Right.
So there's, you know, a lot of different things, and some of these folks, you know, they go down and they have to stay at. They stay during the week
right.
and
they're
don't go home.
Western Slope
yes.
and whatnot. Many of these folks do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they do that. I mean, if you live down in Alamosa or, you know, Grand Junction, you know,
commitment.
Even up in Greeley. I mean, yeah, that's not a horrible drive, but doing it twice a day.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that it's wears and tear on you and And so it's just those small things, you know, baking some cookies and take them down there.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
'Cause you're humans,
yeah.
and you're down there in a sterile environment often,
Yes. So the small things
and
make
that's
a
neat.
huge difference, and they know that they can that you can call them and ask, you know, for their advice or
Yeah, their
suggestion or
input, yeah.
input.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I'd like folks to know too that the Patriot League every month does participates in a little bit of what you're saying, and I know you're aware of
Yes.
this. We have a process that's called Notes of Appreciation, and so we the religious leaders we work with once a month, we facilitate one of those being shared, and you would have received those when you were in office,
Yeah.
you know, back in the day. That just is like you're saying, a simple note of appreciation from a real living, breathing human being,
Yes.
a community leader in this case. So just so folks know that you're working with us, you're a part of that, and we try to do that small part, because then we've
That's
seen this.
very
The same thing you've said, even those little things, it's amazing the responses
right.
we get from those.
Yeah, because there's times when you're really, really down and you get a little simple thank you or oh, it was good to talk to you. You go, oh, okay.
Right. Wow. Somebody knows I'm here.
Yes. Yes.
Very neat. So if someone's listening to this interview and they believe that they're called to public service as you were, what advice would you give to them? They're listening to you. They're
Yeah,
looking at you
okay,
right
all
there, so
right.
tell them
Well,
what they
I
need
would
to know.
suggest that look at where you're at. What stage are you in your life? Then how much time commitment can you give? If you have a young family, chances are something doing more locally, getting involved just in the HOA, involved in your city council or school board. Those are huge places to start because it really gives you a better understanding of what your community needs are and what people expect, you know, out of an elected official. Get involved in a political organization. There's more commitment than others. You can, if you have the time, work with the district captains or become a precinct committee person. And you help a legislator or someone running for office to pass out materials, knock on doors, help make phone calls. You know, I know these robocalls drive you crazy. But anyway, they're effective to a point. But just get involved as much as you can where you're at, depending on your station in life. And if you are in a position where you feel like you have the time and the support of your spouse,
Very
which is
important.
critically
Yeah.
important,
Back to the family.
back to the
Yeah.
family. And then give it a try. Go talk to people you know. Go talk to your representative. Because there
That's
is
good.
term, we have term limits in this state. And
Most
so,
states probably do, I'm guessing, that
yeah.
most do. I don't know that all do, but
Well, we do.
we do, yeah.
And so, don't hesitate. Check it out. If you decide you don't want to, that's okay. But the fact that you are have an interest, be it one or two issues. The learning curve is steep, but it's I wouldn't have passed it up for the world.
That's
Really?
great.
Yeah.
And you've got someone here who I know would be more than happy to do what they could to answer those initial questions.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, you can get in touch with us. We can put you in touch with Mrs. Winholtz, but that's really good.
Thank you.
Thank you. So it was during your time in office. This is the fun one right here. That an individual committed an act of violence against those in the abortion industry. And when I say fun one, of course, I'm not talking about the violence. I'm just saying fun is in the sense of there's some drama that was involved in
Oh, yeah.
this for you. So you issued a subsequent statement that was interpreted by some in that industry to be supportive of the violent act.
Yes.
And it was our understanding in reading your full statement that you weren't supportive of the violent act, but that you were endeavoring to point out that when a child's life is ended at an abortion facility, that this also is an act of violence. So we'd like to give you the opportunity just to respond to these accusations to provide greater clarity as to what your perspective is.
Well, it hasn't changed.
It
hasn't changed. It's still,
principle.
it is, and I think one, I think the fact that the word is getting out, we hear about it. I know you get kind of tired of hearing about it, but we found out that this abortion doctor had over 2,000 babies buried in his backyard.
The same one you're saying, or you're talking about just in
general? No, in general.
Oh, in
just
general.
Recently.
Okay, yes, that's
just
been in the
recently.
News.
And that
nauseating.
Yeah, it. You think, how can this happen? But it does happen. We have killed 63 million children. It just. I mean, it almost takes your breath away. Mm. But the accusations and that were. So much was taken out of context, as you stated, that it happens today. They happen to drop, and I know this isn't by accident, a certain piece of a remark or more clarification, but it doesn't fit the scenario that they want.
Their narrative.
Their
yeah.
narrative, correct. Yeah. And so don't take everything at face value. And read the whole context if you can, and but it's
that is very important.
Yeah,
and
that basically is what happened. Is that they claimed that they did a petition and or whatever to drive me out of office, and I never did see any of them. Yeah. But the security at the Capitol and the leadership in the party were very. Careful and then those few weeks to make sure that nothing happened.
That's good.
Yes.
That's very good.
For
any side of the aisle.
Yes.
Because there's been issues on the other side, I know, similar where there was feelings of threat. And,
oh, you of know, course there are.
Yeah.
And you one never knows what's going to trigger somebody. Like I said, that's how I got involved in the pro-life is that I thought, how dare they do this, you know, the Supreme Court do this on my birthday? Well, if there was someone that had a violent tendency, they could take that to an extreme.
That's correct.
You don't know.
And so you are not advocating for acts of violence against these
individuals. Absolutely
not. Yeah.
Absolutely not. And it's because it's there's victims. There's the child. There's the mother. There's the father. There's siblings.
Yeah.
All of these folks are impacted by this act of taking a human life.
Yes. That's right.
And I'm not sure if I answered the question.
No, I think
you're
very. I think hopefully just, everyone else who's listening thinks, as far as I'm hearing, I think you made it very clear. And you know, it's good you brought up that recent story, which is so nauseating.
Yes.
And this is, I believe, in the state of Illinois or neighboring. Like, he lived in Illinois and then he worked in Illinois or something along
something.
Those lines.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, several years ago, maybe 10 years ago now, Kermit Gosnell, an abortionist.
Absolutely.
The House of Horrors, you know, abortionist. This came out and we were told, oh, this is an aberration. This isn't what the culture of the big abortion industry produces. And yet we have over and over again case after case where men or women who make a living off taking the lives of innocent human beings, it kind of goes with the territory that you don't have a regard for the dignity of the baby when they were born or when they were alive, so why would you have any dignity for disposing of the body? And it's just this graphically just disgusting actions on the part of this person who passed away, and that's how they found out about it.
Yes.
He passed away, and then they discovered this. It's just ghastly.
Well, and one thing too, Planned Parenthood said they would—they don't need this Title X money that the president pulled from them, and
to that we applaud the president.
Yes, absolutely.
In that specific
but
action.
Then what it says is that you don't need this money anyway because you're making enough on doing abortions.
It's a big business.
Yeah, it's huge business. Yes, it is.
Wow, and we could—I wish we had the time. I know we could both talk a lot about. All that is wrong just with they don't want regulations for the safety of women, like having requirements for the doctors to have hospital admitting privileges for abortionists. I mean, we could go on, but just folks research it and become educated and be aware of these things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the tragic U.S. Supreme Court decision, Roe v. Wade.
Mm-hmm.
was handed down in 1973. And those who recognize the humanity of the unborn have been fighting the decision for the past 46 plus years.
Right.
And to me, when I hear that, it's just heartbreaking. 46 years this has gone on. So what, in your view, makes our community most effective when we're championing for the lives of the unborn?
Is the perseverance, and that this issue has divided our country.
Oh, isn't that true?
It is not going to go away, because we are made in the image and likeness of our Lord.
Mm.
And every human life is valuable, and every...
Thank you, yes.
Every child that we lose, we don't know what their potential in that could have been, what God had really, you know, what
yes.
was in the plan for them. And I cherish every one of our grandchildren, and I just can't imagine life without them.
Yeah.
And so to acknowledge for women who have sought forgiveness and mm-hmm. and faced this huge emotional decision that they made at the time, and now to come and ask for forgiveness from not only their Lord but their child.
Sure.
And their those women, they're heroes. They really, really are.
Mm.
And I hope one day that we don't have any women that have to go through that.
Wow.
Because it just breaks your heart. Years ago, I was involved in a crisis pregnancy center. It was operated for about 18 years in the North Glen area. And we worked with women who decided to carry their pregnancy to term.
Mm-hmm.
99% kept their child.
Wow.
Yeah, and
that's
tried
awesome.
To parenting the best they could. And the idea was that what we did was to help them, give them the tools that they needed, whether it was to go back to school, just, you know, if they were still in high school.
Sure.
Stay in school. And what kind of support did they need? To work with their families, and so they would have a support system. And that was one of the things where our families are spread all over the country. A lot of us don't have that family unit
right.
that we can count on. So, and then for those who terminated a pregnancy, there is so much support and help out there.
Wow.
They are not alone. Hmm. And do I like the idea that you can take a baby and leave it at a fire station, you know, after it's born? No, but thank God they did that rather than
That's
abort
right.
that baby or let that baby die.
So be aware if you're listening,
yes.
right? I mean, this is very important. And I'm confident that most municipalities have a similar law.
Yes.
But certainly, I think it's statewide, is it not? You can look it up to verify exact jurisdictions, but I'm pretty sure it's the entire state. You can take your unborn child to the fire station.
Your born child.
I said unborn.
Unborn.
Yeah, that'd be hard to do. But
they'll deliver it. They'll help you if you need
I'm so used to talking about the unborn.
Right.
Your born child. and that child can be, without legal repercussion,
right.
taken there.
Yes.
You're not going to be accused of abandonment or legal action.
Right.
So be aware of that and share that with young people in your life, because that can save a life.
That definitely
saves
a life.
Thank you for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Yeah, so there is so many pieces to this puzzle, and that we brought it onto ourselves, mm-hmm. and all of us have a part to play in saving a life and putting mm-hmm. lives back together.
Yeah. Yes. So we know that presently most of the legal, the cultural momentum is going the opposite direction from the pillar citizen community, the things that we stand for. That's at least the way that we see it.
Mm-hmm.
What encouragement or perspective could you share with us during these challenging times? I know you gave us some, but just I think a lot of folks, again, we're discouraged. We see what's going on out there. Can you share with us any word of encouragement?
Keep the faith. I think prayer is powerful. I do believe in my heart of hearts that the majority of the people in this country, there is, of the, our four pillars, mm-hmm. that they will relate to one of those. And if you relate to one, chances are then that they will come around to the others. Mm. It won't be overnight, but I do believe that the majority of the people are good. Mm. They want to obey the law. They want the very best for their children. They want to live in a safe, free society. Mm-hmm. I know there is a lot of talk about socialism and communism, but again, we're seeing that because of our education system has fallen down.
Yes.
And I heard a speaker this last weekend. I mean, he wanted to be positive, as he said, the best thing you can do is get your kids out of public school.
Okay.
Yep. So that doesn't sound too encouraging, but the fact is.
And why do you think he said that? In your opinion, because that's a lot of people listening say, "Man, that is a very drastic call."
Yeah.
So what would bring a man to come to that conclusion?
Well, I'm going to try to get the tape of his talk.
Right.
He had a lot of charts in that showing that those in charge of our education system mm-hmm. are basically brainwashing our kids.
Okay. Against these principles.
Against these principles. Against their parents, and that the state will fix it, will take care of it. And when history is trying to be rewritten, or the founding fathers are just racist old white men. Right. So the implication of what is being taught and inferred on innocent minds, you know, but you have this saying, well, if you want a child to learn another language, teach them when they're little because, you know, it's easier for them to absorb.
Right.
Well, they're absorbing all this other stuff as well.
That's right. So
it was a bit discouraging, but again, parents, pay attention to what is going on in your schools, what your kids are learning. Help them with their homework. If you don't like what's going on, address it with your superintendent or principal at the school. Mm-hmm. Let them know. And it's amazing. One or two parents that will speak up will give others the courage to speak up as well.
So
don't... You know, if you don't like what's going on, it's your responsibility. Hmm. You brought these children into the world. It's your responsibility to see that they receive a good education.
Right. And we have government schools who introduce books like, you know, Johnny Has Two Mommies or something of that nature. We've got repeated cases in government schools of drag queens coming in.
Yes.
Things that most parents would find extremely troubling and inappropriate.
Right.
So, you know, what you know, the individual that you were talking about proposed, while some of our viewers might view that, wow, that's drastic. What you're saying is, and I totally agree, that we have to, as parents, it's back to the parental rights.
And yes.
Thank you for sharing that message where you said you've got to be involved. What is your child being taught? And whether or not you or I think, well, that can be accomplished. In other words, a good education, moral education can be accomplished in a government school. That's your decision as a parent
right.
Your parental rights. But I think what we agree on here is, and we're trying to convey, is that no matter what system you choose, we all have an obligation to make sure it's a moral, you know, based education.
Right.
And we can't say, well, I'm just going to send them off to the good old government school and just hope that all goes well. It's probably not going to go well.
Yeah, and it has changed a lot since we were in school. And it has changed a lot in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And so there's, you know, when we can look back, I mean, 2020 hindsight,
Sure.
But it's at the same time, things are going on in our schools that they're dangerous for our kids,
yeah,
morally, physically, and
Oh, it's so true.
I just, you know, I do trust that the majority of our folks are doing the best they can, but sometimes you got to do a little bit more.
That's right. It's a good challenge.
Yeah.
Very good challenge. As we wrap up, what would be any final thoughts for us as it relates to all these pillar principles?
The pillar principles are actually a foundation of what makes a human being and a family and a country stable and confident. And recognizing that, you know, it's not a perfect world. If it was a perfect world,
yeah,
you know, our Lord wouldn't have had to come, but he did. And
right.
we also need to have a faith-based life for our family.
Mm-hmm.
Organized religion is, there's, you know, whether it be Jewish or Christian, Catholic, Protestant,
mm-hmm.
a family, and it's a family that prays together, stays together.
Mm.
And it may be only saying grace before a meal or helping your kids at bedtime to say say a little prayer.
Right.
A prayer of thanksgiving. And that's why, you know, when we have Thanksgiving Day in this country, that is a wonderful time to introduce prayer to your with your family or mm-hmm. friends or whatever, but trusting in a God that he wants only the best for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think faith is very important to me. I couldn't have done it. There was times I said, Lord, you're going to have to do it because I can't.
Yeah.
So
and you are a Catholic Christian.
Yes.
Is that
yes
proper way to describe like
right.
Where
yeah.
you're coming from?
Right. And right. So it's, yeah. Has it always been a perfect? Have I always been the Catholic I should have been? No. But
none of us.
The Lord, I really truly believe, when a door closes, a window opens. It does, and you've got to trust, move forward, do the best job you can.
Mm-hmm. And it's so neat, as Americans who may have a huge diversity of religion.
Oh, yeah.
Most Americans, kind of what you were saying before, I believe, do believe in a fundamental sense of right and wrong.
Yes.
That there's an authority outside of just what the government says.
Right.
Some call it natural law.
Right.
Given by the Creator. Our founders talked about this.
Absolutely.
You know, we were endowed with certain inalienable rights, you know. So even if the Pillar Citizen community doesn't agree on the particular religion or God,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, we have folks in the Muslim community, obviously, that they're going to say, hey, this is a completely different religion. We're not going to agree on those things.
Right.
But that doesn't mean we have to hate each other, and it doesn't mean we can't work together for these common principles.
Absolutely.
And then, hey, in other environments, we can have those theological debates, which I think would be great.
Yeah.
And let's have... You know, we can build the relationship, frankly, to get to that point sometimes through those. But if we just sort of demonize other Americans who are peace-loving, who are wanting to,
mm-hmm.
like you say, just live and obey the law and live in a good community, that's a big part of what we believe in. And so I'm glad you brought that up, because you've got to have the sense, that's why this is the Pillar Citizen community. It's not, you know, the Pillar Muslim community or the Catholic community.
Right.
If we operate on islands, folks, we need to work as a team.
Right.
Because the other side is like a monolith. And they're pulling, like in the tug of war, all in the same direction. And if we just kind of show up on the other side of the rope once in a while,
yeah,
we're going to be in the mud.
Yes, we are.
So, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so true. Well, thanks so much for sharing.
Well, thank you.
With us.
Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, ma'am. And thanks for your service very much
as
well, your public service to our state.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm Aaron Robertson with the Patriot League, and I'm inviting you to join the Pillar Citizen community at pillarcitizen.com. And on behalf of our entire leadership team, we want to thank you for watching The Spotlight.